Hello, everyone. Today is Thursday, July 31st, 2025. This is a week in charts. I just want to thank all you guys and girls for attending. I'm not doing a good job lately getting the word out. So if you could spread the word for me, that'd be amazing. Anyway, if you do want to join us live, daveletter.com/webinar, and we'd love to have you here. You can also find me on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/DaveLandry. And I'll give you all the information in just one second. All right, what are we going to talk about? Well, current market conditions. Obviously, I have a lot to say about that. Your questions on trading, your favorite stock and crypto picks, and lots and lots and lots to talk about with the methodology and action, mystery charts, updates on mystery charts, riding trends, dead money, and maybe today, maybe a little discretion too. We might talk about that. All right. I'm going to continue my series on a million little things. It kind of dovetails in with some of the other things that I've said prior, but it'll make a lot more sense in a minute. And this week's topic is do the opposite of the meme, and that'll make a lot of sense in just a few minutes if you hang in there. And obviously, if you have any questions on trading or what we're talking about, please let me know. There's a disclaimer screen. As you know, you lose money trading. I'll often sum it up. All predictions are about the future. And a lot of stuff can happen between now and then. Here's all my contact information. Feel free, of course, to shoot a screenshot. You can also reach me at dave@davelandry.com. All right, let's talk about the mystery charts and the methodology and action. Here's our new mystery chart for the week. We actually have two. Notice that it's in a really nice uptrend. It's very persistent uptrend for the most part. It's accelerating, and then it pulls back to the moving average. And you can see there's the trend accelerating higher. My Kunash just slipped out. I said, there's nice Landry light, many, many days of Landry light, about 60 days of Landry light before it touched that moving average to complete a Landry light pullback. Now, notice it is below the 30 EMA. The entry is above the 30 EMA, well above the 30 EMA. Entry's here, stop is here, initial profit target is up here. If it continues to drop, now, not that the 30 EMA is a hard and fast rule, like if it's below the 30 EMA, you won't buy a stock, but as a general rule, you don't buy a stock if it's below the 30 EMA until unless it crosses back above and triggers. There might be some deep pullbacks that are an exception to that, but for the most part, the 30 EMA is a good reference. So we'll see how that one shakes out. Here's another one for this week. Once again, notice a reoccurring theme, persistency, acceleration, and a pullback, obviously. Lots and lots of Landry light and a TKO type of move, trend knockout. Didn't quite get back to the moving average, but it's also a trend knockout. A lot of patterns will set up, or a lot of setups will set up in a similar fashion. A TKO might be a Landry light pullback, and a Landry light pullback might be just a generic pullback, obviously. And some other patterns that I trade. But most of the patterns I trade, if you're new to me or newer to the methodology, are pullback related. Entry's there, stop is there, initial profit target is up there. We'll follow up with this one in upcoming webinars. If you want to see all the mystery charts going back to when I first recommended them, you can go to daveletter.com/archives to see the newer ones, youtube.com/DaveLandry, and go pull up Dave Landry's core trading service there. I put the delayed services up on YouTube. I actually put them live there for my international clients so they could do the AI translation, which seems to be going really well so far. So if, well, you might be having a hard time understanding me today, but if English is not your first language, then no problem. The AI translation on even my Kunas speak is very good on YouTube. Anyway, we have another mystery chart update. Nice uptrend intact. Again, lots and lots and lots of Landry light. We pull back to the moving average. We also have lots of persistency. As you can see here, persistency is a market's ability to go up day after day after day. It's one of the most powerful concepts. I think if you're going to spend time studying something, spend a lot of time studying that. And I think that's going to really help you out when it comes to trading. Anyway, pull back to the moving average. Landry light, which is the number of lows greater than the moving average, just average, or highs less than the moving average. In a case like down back here, when it was in a downtrend, this counts the number of highs less the moving average, goes to zero when you intersect the moving average, and then plus one, and then plus one afterwards for every day above the moving average. So it doesn't measure magnitude. You can see this down here is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, even though price was coming down to the moving average. So it's just a day count, but it can help you longer terms. Like, holy moly, this market has had 100 days of Landry light. That might be a place where the market might be due to correct. Not that you want to try to time that correction, but if you haven't taken profits and it's kind of extended like that, maybe you take partial profits or just kind of use it or keep it in the back of your mind to know whether or not a market is extended. Anyway, there's all the parameters down below. This was TGen. Entry was here, stop was here, initial profit target is up here. We haven't quite hit that yet. It is pushing higher today. It's having a really good day. So I would encourage my clients, which I already did actually in Facebook and the Facebook group, Dave Landry's Trend Traders, to keep an eye out. I call it smoke 'em watch, smoke 'em if you got 'em. Keep an eye out for those partial profits and be willing to get out a little early if it has a hard time getting there. In other words, apply a little discretion. Now, this is another good example of just follow the plan. I know, easier said than done. So we initially, the first day we're in, we're up $584 per 100K. So that's not bad. It's much better than a poke in the eye. A couple days later, we're now down 152. So that's obviously $600 and change slide. And then a few days later, we're back to being up once again, 1,054. And then we gave all that up and then some, right? And now we're down $8. So that's $1,064 swing to the downside. And then we come right back up, $1,600 and change as of a few minutes ago. And again, we're looking for, or I don't know if I mentioned already, but we're looking for 2% profit target on the overall account. So in this case, it'd be $1,000 based on a hypothetical 100K account. So it'd be $2,000 total. And then you divide that in two because you're taking half profit. So that'd be a 1% profit overall. And keep in mind that this is not where the money is in the first loaf. The real money is in the second loaf. But if you get the initial profit target out and the trend doesn't materialize and you scratch out at worst on the remainder, and you do that over and over and over again, it keeps the lights on, it keeps you in the game until you finally knock it out of the park. And that's the secret, is those outliers. And as I've said 1,000 times, I've been accused of making it sound too elusive. It when you're trading momentum and trends and trend following, okay, it's kind of all the same thing, right? The way you really make money is through those occasional outliers when that market really, really takes off. And as I showed a few weeks back, I forget how much it was, like 17,000 or I forget that, or 1,700% change in one stock in a Landry 100 made up for all the losses for the year prior, all the taken losses. When that 1,700% gain came out and went into the closed trades, all of a sudden, all the closed trades were, it's covered all of those losses and then some. So that outlier is very, very, very important that you catch an occasional outlier. Here's the Mr. Short update. This is VG. You can see the parameters down below there. And again, you could download these archives, daylandry.com/archives. And then on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Dave Landry. Anyway, you can see it was in a decent little uptrend from lows, and then it began to accelerate higher. Bigger picture wise, it was also a cup and handle. As I say ad nauseum, I don't trade directly off a big picture technical analysis, but it does help me to build the case for the position. So if I have a bow tie and a cup and handle, or a cup and handle and a pullback, or a Landry-like pullback in this particular case, then I know I have a few things working for me. Head and shoulders, for instance, often sets up as a bow tie, often sets up as a head and shoulders. And then obviously, as I just said, cup and handle on the downside. Anyway, you can see it pulls back to the moving average, kisses the moving average, triggers, and unfortunately comes back in. Initial profit target's up there. So far, not so good on this one. We have an open loss, at least as when I marked to market here a few minutes ago, of $862. But we're going to stick with it, see what happens. Here's another one that's not doing so hot, okay? It's BTM, kind of a nice gradual trend. Then it can accelerate higher. Also, look at this persistency in here. It tends to go up day after day after day. Nice Landry light for a long, long time. Pulls back to the moving average. That completes the setup as a Landry light pullback. Those were the parameters, or there's the parameters there. It's this BTM. You can see it's in the portfolio. And so far, it really hasn't done much. It did have a nice swing higher, but it wasn't really close enough to the initial profit target to take partial profit. So that's a little bit of a bummer. And now we have an open loss of $900. Dave, I'm not too impressed. Well, settle down, Beavis. Just stick with it, right? Now we have a Mr. Chart update. This was in a very solid trend, and you can see Landry Light down below, pulls back the moving average. The Landry Light goes to zero when you touch the moving average. This is what makes it great for scanning, if that's something you want to do, or just kind of eyeballing charts. It helps you see the setup. There's the parameters down below. Entry was here, stop was here, initial profit target was here. Now, again, would you hit that 2% gain on the portfolio overall? Now, that might be 20% in individual stock, or it might be 25% or more, or depends on the volatility of the stock. If we bring that spreadsheet up real quick, you could see these were gold stocks, okay? So the numbers aren't quite as big, but something a little bit more volatile, like this defense stock or this whatever this stock is here, it was 28%, and this was really cray-cray, 39%. And as I've said before, some people are like, I can't risk that much on a trade. It's like, well, as they said in Caddyshack, you don't get no gold. Anyway, so you bank 1,000 at the initial profit target. Now, remember, when you hit that initial profit target, even if it's intraday, you bring that stop up to break even on the remainder. So the worst you could do, barring overnight gaps, is break even. And the best you could do is ride a trend for a long, long time. How long, Dave? Well, 10 years, hopefully longer. I think the longest we've stayed in one was maybe 3 years. And I don't know if Jeff's here today or not, but Jeff, who's usually here, he adjusted one of the stocks we were in for dividends, which I didn't do because usually the dividends are negligible. And about a year ago, he was still in that stock. I don't know if he's still in it or not, but pretty impressive run. Anyway, as of a little while ago, we had 2171 open. So that's 3171 total. And that's not too bad. And that's on a hypothetical 100K. So that's a 3% of change overall. Here's KGC. The entry was here. Stop was here. Initial profit target was up here. It did eventually get there, and it was part of one of my dead money reports. This thing went sideways for a long, long time. And as I say each week, if I wasn't doing a trading service where people were depending on me and expected me to practice what I preach, I would probably allow myself to get taken out of stocks like this. The other thing it does, too, is on stocks that I take that are outside the trading service, it forces me to stick with them. It's almost like, okay, what if somebody was watching me? And these are stocks that are usually coming off of the Landry list anyway. So these are stocks I mentioned to other people. Anyway, I want to do a good job and trade these. Now, I'm not saying that outside of my core methodology, I don't do stupid stuff that I shouldn't be doing sometimes, or over trading or being hyperactive, however you want to look at it. But with this core methodology, I'm forced to follow it. And the having clients is sort of my commitment device, so to speak, on that. But anyway, if I didn't have clients, I might have bailed a long time ago. And then, you know, you ever bail on a stock and then you look at it 2 months later and it's going straight up ever since? So that fortunately doesn't happen with me too much unless my stop caused me to have to exit the stock. Anyway, so eventually we had $1,000 banks. That stop goes up to break even. And as of a little while ago, we had 715 open. So far so good on that one. TFPM parameters were there. You can see the entry was here, stop was down here, initial profit target was up here. Again, this was a pullback to the moving average, Landry-like pullback. So $1,000 was banked at that IPT, and then there's $476 open as of a little while ago. So overall, doing pretty good with the portfolio. Knock on wood, check back often, obviously. But this is we're getting back onto the trends again. And if you go in and watch last week's presentation, we talked about riding the trend down, and then you get stopped out of stuff, and then your equity, when the trend turns, your equity turns with it. But then your equity comes back up if that trend continues lower. Okay. Unfortunately, when the trend turns again, your equity drops again. And now we're back to the long side. And knock on wood, since the market started banging out new highs, we too are doing fairly well following along. Well, let's just hope. And I know you said the word hope, but let's hope it lasts. And if it lasts for a while, that's where the real money is going to come in, riding those trends longer term. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on Landry 100 this week. I just want to point out once again, speculation is alive and well. And if you're newer to the list, I buy everything in this list. The formula for this list is to buy everything at a brand new closing high. Okay. And what I do is I create a tradable universe, and I forget the exact numbers. I think it's about 300,000 or 400,000 shares or more on average. And the stock has to close at a brand new high, brand new 52-week closing high. I might adjust those parameters if the market conditions change or when the market conditions change, if we go into a choppy market or a down market, God forbid. But for now, I'm finding plenty of stocks at brand new 52-week high. So this one was bought on that day there. And let me just back this out a little. You could see if you squint your eyes, it wasn't closing at a brand new high, but it's a new closing high on that day. It's a very simple formula too. It's like if close divided by the close 250 days ago equals one, it would be a candidate. And I tend to put the more volatile stocks in and the ones that trade a little more cleanly. Anyway, so far that's had a pretty good run. Now, as I said in weeks prior, there's no money management in this. And on a small scale, I've done some experimenting. And what I've done with my experimenting is when I'm up 100%, I take off half. And that way I have a completely free position, so to speak. But in this list here, it's just a raw momentum list, and we're not taking off half. And as I said, I think it was a few weeks ago, that one that ran 3,000% and stopped out at 1,700%, not stopped out, it took out at 1,700%. When it's up 3,000%, that one stock would be 30% of the entire portfolio because it's only 100 stocks, right? So you would have to, if you were doing this in the real world as a fund manager or whatever, you probably would want to scale back on that a little bit in case that stock got whacked. That would have a really big impact. It would be giving up open profits, but still an impact nonetheless on the performance. There's a couple of errors in this pie chart, and I couldn't find them right before the show. So I think it's like it has 102 stocks in here, but it's just one or two of them are off by one or two. But for the most part, there's like I checked the big ones like biotechnology, semiconductors, gold, and industrial metals and metals and software and defense. Those are okay. And so somewhere buried in here, there's a few that are off, one or two that are off. But anyway, one thing that's kind of interesting, as I've been saying quite a bit, is when you start looking at this pie chart, I know you want to party with me. It's exciting because you'll see that biotechnology is 11%. So 11 stocks out of 100 or in biotechnology. And it's interesting because the biotechnology chart looks okay, but it's got a lot of overhead supply. And if you were to go out and just buy the ETF, that would probably not be a good ETF to buy. However, according to this momentum list, I'm finding more and more biotechs, and that number is actually growing a little bit. The other thing that you can look at when you're managing a list like this is the golds are beginning to come off. So that number is getting smaller. We still have quite a few in there. We still have 9 goals in there. But that number is beginning to get smaller because gold's beginning to lose some momentum. The industrial metals and minerals are doing pretty good, though. So they're still pretty high at 9%, or 9. There's also 9 stocks there. Uraniums, lithiums, platinum, palladium, those metals, for the most part, have been doing well. They've corrected a little bit lately. So we'll see how it shakes out. The other thing that kind of happens that's really cool in here, and I know I'm kind of geeking out, but it's going to find little areas that you might overlook, like right now, small scale nuclear. Okay, I've got one stock in here, small scale nuclear. And then one thing that I should probably do is drill down a little further into some of these like electronic stocks or whatever, because they're power related type of stocks. Like SDLP would be one of those, for example, that's probably buried within other ones. So maybe drill down a little further within some of these sectors, like the semiconductors or electronics, whatever the case may be. But anyway, all right, I'm not going to go through this because since we talk about it each week. All right, let's hop into, if there's any questions on that, let me know. So about a year or so ago, I started a series called A Million Little Things. And as I say each week, everyone thinks that a switch is going to flip and bam, you're a trader and you just make a lot of money and you just sail off into the sunset or whatever. The reality is it's really a million little things that you need to do. We were talking to Facebook group about missing a big winner. It's like, well, put in a hard stop to get you into something that you are intending to trade. Okay. Just one little thing like that would help you to catch that winner. Little tiny commitment devices, as I've said, ad nauseum. When I walk in the office, the market always seems to reverse while I'm at lunch or whatever, and I'll fire off a day trade unnecessarily. So now when I walk in the office, I have a commitment device. I have to write in my trading journal the time I walk in and WITO, walk in the office. So if I do feel so compelled to make an unnecessary trade, at least I documented it that I came into the office. And the reason it's like, as you know, and that's another one of those many little things, I rediscovered the hangry judge effect. Okay. I didn't mean to go off on this. My apologies. But the hangry judge effect is that they did a study in Israel on judges that gave sentences before lunch and then after lunch and pardons, et cetera. And they found that after lunch sentences were far less harsh than before. And they reasoned that the judges were hangry. Well, my problem is, because I like to eat, Big Dave, that's why they call me Big Dave, is that I'll go in the house and chow down and I'm feeling good, come back in the office and all of a sudden everything looks good. So it's so many little things like that from a psychological and neurological standpoint that you really have to wrap your head around. Anyway, number 408552, forget about fundamentals, buy hot stocks. So where am I going with that? Well, I saw a meme very similar to this and I forget exactly how it looked, but it was very similar. And I couldn't find it again. I didn't want to comment on it. I don't want to get in a pissing contest with somebody online. That's just a waste of time. But from my perspective, I would rather buy hot stocks than good companies, okay? The point they were trying to make was that everybody's looking for like an easy way or something as opposed to just buying good companies. Well, you're much better off buying hot stocks than a quote unquote good company. So I am there first in line. So what is a good company? Well, I guess you could look at some of these fundamentals, or as I often call them, fundamentals, such as the balance sheet, cash flow, PE, ROA, RRE, PB, or I have no idea what all that stuff is. Okay. Value. Okay. how do you define value, right? Do they have some kind of niche or some kind of demand for their product or some kind of theme? Now, as I've talked before, you want to be really, really careful about chasing themes. But I will circle back to that a little bit, and maybe I'll confess a little on when you're allowed to chase a theme. Anyway, so fundamentals changed my mind. 95% of all mutual funds do not beat the S&P 500. That number is staggering. Yet they have hundreds, if not thousands, of people on staff, analysts. They have massive supercomputers. They have direct access to CEOs, okay? If it's a big fund, they can actually call the CEO and talk to them. So they sort of have inside information. Now, I just did a Google on a list of current value stocks, and this is the list that came up, and I'm not going to say where I got it, but you could find it online easily. And what I did was I went back to the first of the year for these value stocks, and this is the performance of them. Now, there were one that took off 64% right here. One was up 15%, one's up 3%. But look at how beat up these stocks are, and maybe that's the argument. You buy stocks that are beat up. Well, that's a really bad thing to do. And remember, this, like the CNC, for instance, is down 90%. Guess what? I bet at one point in time, it was down 50%, okay? And some of these in here that are down 10 and 20, if they go down, they may go down 100%. Who knows? But you can see the performance of the stocks. These stocks are really, really, really poor. And the only way to make money in a stock is to sell it higher than you buy. I didn't say buy low and sell high. That's a loser's game, trying to buy low. What is low? Nobody knows, okay? So if you take that list of value stocks and compare it to hot stocks, okay? Now, these are going back. This track date here, I brought back to the beginning of the year. So this is since January 1st. So ignore the track date here. The track date over here was the exact date I added the stock to the portfolio. So that SY we talked about earlier went in on 6/25, okay? But you can see the top stocks here are looking pretty darn good. They've made some really nice moves as opposed to these value stocks over there. As I often say, or used to say at least, someday I'm going to create a system that requires stocks to have poor fundamentals. And somebody emailed me and said, I believe you already have. So if you go back, let's see if we have it in here. I think it's coming up. Now, let me just backtrack for a second. A company is a physical entity. It's made up of assets and a building or buildings, likely. They manufacture something or create something or provide a service. They have employees. So this whole conglomerate of things, I guess, so to speak, makes up a company. And a stock is a piece of paper, or used to be a piece of paper, now it's a digital blip, which represents ownership in the company. Two different things, okay? One is physical and one is intangible. But when you buy a stock, you're forming a relationship between you and the company, okay? And this is from Tom McClellan, as you'll see in one second. And as a general statement, the company has your best interests in mind, okay? The company wants to enhance shareholder value. Now, every now and then, something nefarious goes on or some nefarious players get involved. I've gotten whacked on a couple of Chinese stocks fairly recently, and it's got me kind of scratching my head on that. And some of my clients are done with them already. I'm not completely done with them because I'm a purist when it comes to markets, but I think my clients are expecting me to be a purist and not create excuses for why or why not to take a particular stock when the setup is there. And I hate to use the word hope, but hopefully because of this recent rash of these stocks getting whacked that they will look into what's happening here. And it sounds like they already are. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is you're forming a relationship between you and the company. And it's a general statement that company has your best interest in mind 99% of the time, okay? But what people fail to realize is you're also forming a relationship with anybody who bought the stock prior to you. And Tom McClellan went on to say, and those people will screw you. This was at the American Association of Professional Technical Analysts. Easier for me to say. I usually say AAPT or APTA. This was at an APTA meeting back in New Orleans, probably a decade or so ago. But I really liked Tom McClellan's presentation. He just kind of brought it back to the basics and how you need to think about things. And I emailed Tom, as I've said quite a bit, and said, Tom, I've been using your using quotes from your presentation quite a bit. I really enjoyed it, and I think it's something that the masses really needs to hear. And this quote has been around forever, and everyone, I've heard it many, many times, but I hadn't heard it up until this point. And then Tom McClellan went on to say, he goes, Wells Force quotes, here's another one from my late mother, Marion, regarding market timing. And this is one of the most famous quotes ever. Everyone uses timing in their investing. So people buy when they have money and sell when they need money, while others use methods that are more sophisticated. Now, keep that in mind. Everybody's looking for logic, okay? That little meme, like, just buy good companies, okay? Well, sounds good on paper, but the market doesn't work like that. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works, Beatrice. People buy and sell stocks for a variety of reasons, many of which have absolutely nothing to do with the underlying company. As I've said quite a bit, friend of mine, Dick Fruth, he's running, I don't know how much he's running now, but it's in the hundreds of millions. But years ago, when he started off as a broker, he's a little older, people actually held the shares in their home or safe deposit boxes, and they would actually bring the shares in to sell them. And the curmudgeons in the office, as Dick called them, would just snatch the shares away from them and give them their ticket or check or whatever it works back then. And Dick's a little bit more gregarious. He would sit them down, get a cup of coffee and chat them up a little bit and find out why you're selling. Well, I'm getting married, I'm getting divorced or whatever the case may be. And his point was that he rarely, or I don't know if it's, I'll have to check his book, but rarely did the person say anything to do with the company, if at all. So that's always in the back of my mind. And over the weekend, my wife's been telling me for probably 2 years. So guys, listen to your wives. She's been saying that day the floor is going to just fall out of our shower because it's got a little, had a soft spot. And I explained to her, no, it has waterproofing under there. And that's just a little soft, little tile. It's not a soft spot. And the thin set is washed, or the thin set or the mortar has washed out, and we'll take care of that someday. Well, it's kind of a long story, but one of my neighbors was passing, and somehow we got on the subject of his house because a few years ago he had a leaky toilet that got underneath the floor and it destroyed his entire floors. And $25,000-$35,000 later, I forget what it was, but he had to take out the whole subfloor and everything. So my wife's like, one day we're going to fall through that shower. And she said, tomorrow, this is last Saturday, you're going to crawl under the house and see what's going on. I'm like, all right, you know, do as I told. And this is what I found. And as I'm laying on my back, I'm thinking, okay, well, we're well out of warranty. So how am I going to pay for that? Well, I'm going to have to likely, let's see how much damage is. Let's see if it's just small area, no big deal. But if it goes on much further, then I've got a big problem on my hand. So far, we're $600 in the hole, and that's just for the tile. And that has nothing to do with the repairs, which are going to be substantial, I would think. So I'm thinking, where am I going to get the money? I don't know how much cash I have on hand. but I'm likely going to have to pull money out of a trading account, okay? And since I've been mostly allocated as of late because the market's going up, I might actually have to sell some stock. So what does my selling have to do with anything? Absolutely nothing, because I ignored my wife and let a small problem become a big problem, I might have to sell some stock. And you've got to wrap your head around that. And I'm always thinking about markets, obviously, other things too, but mostly markets. But I always think whenever I make a decision that has nothing to do with the markets, needing some money, but and selling stock, for instance, because of a floor damage or whatever, it always makes me realize how markets actually work. One of my favorite sayings is, don't confuse the issue with facts, unless you're Bill Clinton. What is the price of the stock, the ask, is the lowest amount that someone will sell it to you. The value of a stock, the bid, is whatever someone is willing to pay for you. I'm glad I used the word value in there, because the value of a stock is whatever the value is. So what makes a hot stock? So we don't know what makes a good stock. Maybe let me know what makes a good stock, okay? But I don't know what makes a good stock, but I know what makes a hot stock. A hot stock is a stock that looks like that. So the question is, do you never use fundamentals? Well, the short answer is yes, I do not use fundamentals. Now, with that said, after checking price, if I have a setup, I will occasionally ask, what's the story, fad, or glory? This is especially true with IPOs, especially for the pioneer setup, okay? The example that I've used there ad nauseum was during the pandemic, Academy Sports setup, ASO, I think it's a signal there. And I didn't take the pioneer setup, but once it pulled back, I was like, well, you know what? I can't imagine buying a brick and mortar stock, okay? I mean, come on, brick and mortar is dead, right? Well, it turned out to be one of the hottest stocks in the portfolio because I didn't know it at the time, but everybody was getting sick of being inside. They started rushing out and buying kayaks and sporting equipment and stuff so they could go out and enjoy the outdoors. Peter Lynch wrote a book many years ago. It's one of the first ones I've ever read, back in the 80s, I believe, is when I read it. And his point was, his one up on Wall Street, from what I remember, can be summed up like, if you're seeing some sort of trend, then it might be worthwhile. Now, again, I will think like that a little bit, but only if I first confirmed it with price. And we had I forget the name of the stock, I was trying to find it earlier, but there was a stock that made hair care products for women. And it was set up, and this was after we were in it. One of my clients sent me a picture from his shower, and there were like three or four bottles of this stuff in the shower. And I also looked up how expensive it was, and it's just like $50 a bottle or something ridiculous. And I asked my wife to ask her hairdresser, which is a friend of ours. She does it part-time. Whenever she needs a pair of shoes, she cuts somebody's hair. That's another story altogether. Anyway, she asked her about it, and she's like, oh, I love those products. You know, they're expensive, but I love them. I was looking at, I think it was Buckle Jeans years ago, or Bugle or Buckle, I forget. Bugle, maybe. And it was a nice little setup as a pullback, and I took the trade, and I asked my daughter, teenage daughter at the time, like, have you ever heard of those Buckle Jeans? He goes, I love them. And she thought she was getting a pair. So her excitement kind of confirmed what I'm saying. So I think it's okay to look at themes like this, provided, of course, you're looking at price first and foremost. So in the IPOs, again, I like to ask, what's the story, fad, or glory? If I'm taking a pioneer setup, meaning that I'm getting in as soon as day five on the close, I like to know that there's something there that could be some sort of catalyst. Now, I don't factor that in directly. And again, I'll wait for a secondary setup in the IPOs. But in a regular stock, I really don't care, okay? But there is a little something there, but you got to be really careful with it. And I'll give you an example. I was almost hesitant to talk about this today, but I want to concede that there's a tiny bit of what could be seen as maybe fundamentals that I might use. Many years ago, I used to sailboat race, and I think on one of these ocean races, I was asking a guy, he's a veterinarian. I was like, is there anything you see in your industry that you find interesting? And this is before I became really heavily into the technical analysis. And I was just learning technical analysis at the time. And he said, yeah, these little test kits, it used to cost us about $30 to do a test. You take the blood from the dog or whatever, you send it off to a lab, and then you get it back later, 2 or 3 days later. He goes, now we have these little tests we do in-house. These tests are like $2 each. I think we charge them $20 for the test. Takes a technician about 10 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever. They get the results fairly quickly. He goes, I love these things. We're doing a lot of tests, and they're wonderful. And it was really good for him. Whereas the old way, they would probably scratch out by the time they went through all the hassle of mailing it off and getting it back and all that other stuff. And the new way, they've become far more profitable through these tests. And the client is happier because they're paying up to half less, even though the markup is still a little ridiculous. Long story endless, the setup was there, the stock was there, and that was a big winner based on that. Now, those don't come along every day, okay? So I am saying there's a tiny bit of that story, fat or glory, although I don't think there's any story of fat or glory with any stocks in the portfolio right now. But every now and then again, I will look into it, especially again with the Pioneer setup and an IPO. Now, never forget, you're trading traders and not markets. And as Tom Collins said, and those people screw you. I want to show you a couple of trades real quick and for Crypto Corner, and then we'll jump into the live charts. I promise, usually if I show you something in a week of charts, it's something that I've recommended and then recommended ahead of time and then taken. In this particular case, this is something I saw. I took it. I didn't put it out there. So in the Facebook group, if you guys want me to, I'm going to show you more and more of these crypto trades ahead of time, or at least as I'm putting trades on. But anyway, it was beginning to break out. And after kind of bottoming out and beginning to break out from lows, looks like the bottom was in. And I was thinking, or with crypto, I think, that because it's a very inefficient market and there's these bull bear cycles that come along fairly frequently, like every 4, 5, 6 weeks, you can sometimes just buy the strongest pairs with a heavy dose of money management. Now, I'm not generally a breakout trader, except for maybe IPOs, but for the most part, I like to trade pullbacks. However, in crypto, because it moves so fast, it's a very inefficient market, you can buy these breakouts. Now, I just put in an order at 20% to keep the math easy. If you go in and look at the trading service, you'll see that the percentage for the IPT is going to vary greatly depending on the volatility of the underlying stock, okay? But for crypto, 20% is a good round number, and a lot of times you'll hit that in one day or not. But anyway, I missed the initial profit target, and I admitted that last week. But luckily or fortunately, it did go back up to hit the initial profit target. And as I said, last week I went ahead and mined, so to speak, $25 to Bitcoin. And I'll show you that on this one too. So here's SubSquid, whatever the frick that is. I have no idea. And you can see it, I don't know if this is when it first debuted, but this is when it debuted on Coinbase. And it just failed miserably, but it did come down and make a double bottom, and it looks like it was trying to break out. And again, I'll trade breakouts in crypto, but usually not much else. So it was one of the strongest ones of the day, and it looked like it had the potential to keep on breaking out. So I took the trade, and it spiked higher and I was able to get a 20% profit out of it, and it came back in, but then it's begun to rally a little bit. We'll look at that in just 1 second. Now, as I've been saying quite a bit, when I get that 20%, I mine off, so to speak, just a crumb to Bitcoin. So the whole goal here is my shitcoin to Bitcoin thing. And I thought about putting a lot more money into all this, but I'm kind of having fun with it at small numbers. And, you know, could I make it work with bigger numbers? I don't know. But I'd like to see how far I can take this as kind of like a game. And as I've said before, sometimes when you make these things a game, they're a lot easier than when you're just really getting serious about trading, right? But when we hit that 20% profit target, or I hit the 20% profit target, I take off half, and then I just throw $25 for S and G's in the Bitcoin. And that's added up a little bit. And I have no money management in that. I'm kind of buying and hoping on that. But it's not enough to make a big deal. But once it gets sizable, at some point, I'll probably have to put a little money management in there. But I thought it'd be kind of a fun thing to see if I could take these shit coins and actually make something real out of them, so to speak. I think Bitcoin, you can now call that as a real thing. I don't know. People might argue with me, but people were arguing at 4,000. I said it before. I hate to say it, keep beating this guy up, but there was a guy who should know better years ago when Bitcoin was 4,000. He would put out his newsletter and complain about how it's fake and BS and all. But so far, the market has valued it at $118,000. So it is what it is. But anyway, you can see it bought down here. It was like 6,000 and change of these things, and sold half at that IPT. I put a limit order, okay? So buying at around 16 cents, selling at 19 cents, and then $25 of that goes to Bitcoin. Now, sometimes what I'll do is I'll put in an order just in case it spikes higher at 100%, and this one didn't quite get there, but I'll put an order at 100% to actually sell a little bit more, because sometimes these things are just so crazy. They'll spike 100%, and you end up, you know, you come in the next day, it's like, oh, it was up 100%. Now it's, you know, now I'm underwater. Anyway, so that's just something that I've been doing with the Bitcoin. Sound like the old people, the Bitcoin. All right, speaking of Bitcoin, let's switch over to crypto. All right, Bitcoin's kind of hanging in there. Lots and lots of Landry Light. I forget how many days, like 65 days or so, since it's touched that moving average. It's trying to rally, but for now it's stuck in a range. I would leave it alone until or unless it begins to break out of the range. So here's that SQD. So far, it's not doing so good. It was doing well. Obviously, we took the profits. It came back in. Kernel's the other one we were looking at earlier. And you see, this one had a pretty good run. I don't know if it made 100%. If it did, I think it came. This is one I might be thinking of that came really, really close. I do have a limit order somewhere way up here, trying to get a little bit more off of that. I'm long XRP, which triggered here, shot up here, and then came back. So right around a little bit above break even on that one. But we'll hang on and see what happens longer term. Now, again, like I said, you can sometimes just sort these by the strongest and hop in the ones that are doing well. That's a trash coin. My exterminator has $2 in trash coin, like I said last week. I wish him well. All right, not seeing anything else. Anybody have any pairs you want me to look at while we're here? I'm just trying to find something here, like right here, okay? Now, this sounds a little crazy, but when they're at the top of these funny-looking bars, whatever these bars are called, and they're some of the strongest ones, and they don't have too much overhead supply, sometimes you could just buy these things. Looks like I bought it back here at one point. And again, put in an initial profit target. There's that IP again. So that's that IP is looking interesting. If I had to buy anything today, it would be IP. Now, longer term, I'd like to just trade things like Landry-like pullbacks. Like, this looks okay. I'm a little bit more lenient with some of this overhead supply and classical technical analysis with crypto than I am with stocks because the market's so inefficient. But here you have a pair that took off and it's pulled back to the moving average. So that's the type of thing that I prefer to trade longer term. But as long as they're setting up where I could play the relative strength game and they remain strong, then I think it's worth a shot. Like that's kind of interesting as a pullback. It was PENG. But anyway, very inefficient market. I think there's a lot of potential opportunity here. Don't fall in love with any of these things. They're mostly crap. Hence the name shitcoin, SHYT. All right, any questions on all this? Let's go ahead and shift gears and we'll get stocks up and running. Now, one thing that did not come up, I don't know why it didn't come up, but in my slides, one, I don't know if I still have it in here. I put up the PEs for these Landry 100 stocks, and they were all negative, and the ones that were positive were like 300 and 400. There were a couple, I don't know if I could add it on the fly, that had positive and low PEs, but they were gold stocks. So if you take a look at the PEs on these, so if we take a look at the hottest stocks in here, up 146%, okay? What's your PE? Negative one, okay? Up 109%, what's your PE? Minus 17, okay? Up 78%, what's your PE? Minus two. Okay, you kind of get the idea. 78% minus 38, 73% minus 43. Now, again, like I said earlier, the only one that has positive PE, which would be considered maybe a reasonable PE, I think the S&P right now is, I forget, I looked it up earlier, might be 10. So this is a gold stock. Well, you can kind of see that. Yeah, it would have a reasonable PE because you could look at how much gold they have and you can look at how much gold they're likely to dig up. So maybe there is some fundamental analysis that could work there. I don't know, but that would explain the relatively reasonable, so to speak, PE. All right, let's take a look at the PEs. A little bit of an opening gap reversal today. That's why you always got to be careful when there's some excitement coming into the market or whatever and not buy into it. But so far, coming off the worst levels. And if we close right here, we'd be at all-time high. So I'm not going to argue with that. So far, this breakout above this prior little peak remains intact. So far, so good. Do the spiders have a PE? I don't know. Anyway, NASDAQ Composite, same sort of action happening there too. Still up substantially for the day. And this nice persistent breakout remains intact. Market getting overbought, so we're due for a bit of a correction. So brace for that. Rusty 2000 has been a real disappointment. It's trying to come back to positive today. It's got a lot of overhead supply and old trading to go overcome. So one day at a time there, I suppose. EvaShare has been getting whacked as of late. They did break out to all-time highs, but came right back in. These are the foreign stocks. And if you take a look at the dollar's been generally strong as of late. So it's probably putting a little pressure on the EVA shares. Dollar's also putting a little pressure on gold, likely. Now, I would recommend you read Murphy's book on intermarket technical analysis. As I preached, though, don't rush out and try to use it right away. But there are some general relationships that are important to know. For instance, if the dollar's weak, it's going to take more dollars to buy gold because it's dollar denominated. If the dollar is strong, then you could buy more gold with your dollars. Okay. So gold stock in this range. And as I said earlier, more and more gold stocks are coming out the Landry 100. I'm hoping the bull market isn't over. I know I just said hope because we're long two gold stocks and they're actually doing okay so far. Knock on wood. But that's what's going on with gold. Let's take a look at gold, a commodity. you can see it looks a little bit better longer term than the gold stuff. Still a longer term uptrend, but kind of meandering a while, around in a sideways range. So I'd like to see it break out that range and not look back. The Fed stocks still doing pretty good. Nice persistent uptrend remains intact there. Again, we're long KTS, KTOS, and it really hasn't pulled back that much, but nice persistent trend there. So there could be some new opportunities there fairly soon. So we could have just pull it back a little bit today. So before that breakout remains intact, I like them to clear this prior peak decisively and not look back for a while, but so far so good. Metals overall have pulled back. In fact, they're set up as a pullback. They're looking pretty good. And like I said earlier, palladium and platinum and uranium and a lot of these rare earths, which have recently corrected, but longer term or in pretty serious uptrends. That was platinum. There's palladium. So far, just pulling back in here. And again, overall, the sector remains set up. Lithium would be one of those metals, although it's selling off fairly hard today. But that's been taken off as of late, pushing it higher. Uranium, again, another one of those areas that has been doing fairly well. So far, just pulling back a little bit. So that's looking pretty good. So I don't know if I could close the loop earlier, but I was saying one thing about slicing up that pie, so to speak, with the Landry 100 is you begin to catch smaller areas that are doing well that could become something much bigger, like small scale nuclear, for instance, when you drill down a little further than just the generic sector that it's, I think that's like diversified industrials, but it's like, hold on, that is small scale nuclear. We had three stocks that are capital markets, but if you drill down a little further, like Hood was one of them, okay? That's mostly, that could be considered a crypto stock. Coin, obviously, if it's in there, would be considered crypto. Yeah, so Coin's looking pretty good, and that would be a crypto, obviously. Pot stocks have been bottoming out, but has been saying quite a bit. Looks like it's be more of a process than an event. Silver's corrected pretty hard with the metal, so I'd like to see these metals, silver and gold at least, bottom out a little and turn back up. That'd be pretty nice. A lot of areas at or near all-time highs. If you take a look at like robotics and AI, you can see they broke out past a prior little peak in here. No big shock with the market doing well like it has been. But not everything is fantastic. Like health services has been going pretty much straight down. That's why you're seeing those as value stocks. So, you know, don't try to catch it falling knife, believe me. What else is in here that's worth a look? Broker dealer doing pretty good. Longer term uptrend remains intact. So, as I was saying a second ago, not all is great in the world. Take a look at like IBB looks okay, but it's fighting with a lot of overhead supply. But in spite of that, I'm still seeing lots and lots of momentum here. And clear air and individual issues. So it's important to look at a lot, or as the kids say nowadays, important. I don't know why they say that. It literally, unless you're from England, please don't talk like that. I saw a meme a couple days ago. It was Clint Eastwood making that face, like, and I'm like, and it said, the older I get, the more I'm beginning to understand that face. Anyway, trying to be funny, I lost my train of thought. Software, a little bit of an opening gap reversal today. So far, trying to break out past its prior little peak. So far, so good there. So overall, things are looking pretty good. Check back often. Oh, I know I was going to say, the good thing is when you're looking at a lot of stocks, you can see what's happening internally. So it's good to look at the sectors to get a feel for what's happening, but also look internally. And if you're seeing a lot of stocks within a sector setting up, if the sector's not fantastic, maybe it's worth going after a few of those stocks is what I was trying to say. All right, any questions? Anybody want to take a look at any individual stocks? I know we do talk about stocks in Facebook, so it's not as many requests as I used to get. All right, going once, going twice. Well, obviously, I want to thank everybody for attending. I appreciate taking time out of your busy schedule. Anything you're going to answer, DaveAtDaveLandry.com. I think I'll see most of you guys and girls in a little while in the Facebook group. Everybody else who's on the live stream, we'll do this again likely next Thursday. I hope to see you there. In the meantime, everybody have a great weekend and may the trend be with you. Thank you so much. You're welcome.